Good evening, welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. We're going to do our best to make it even better. We are finally back after our long summer break, and it's great to be back. Tonight, we are going to look back on some of the hot topics that we didn't get a chance to discuss because we're on break. We're going to talk about the Montgomery brawl. Remember that with the chair? We're going to talk about Keke Palmer and her boyfriend, Darius Jackson. There was a lot of issues around her going to Usher's concert and performing for her. We have to talk about Donald Trump being indicted on his fourth indictment. We're talking about that. And then everyone's talking about Beyonce's tour, Renaissance versus Taylor Swift's Eras tour. Which one have you seen? I want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, which now X, Instagram, and of course our official website, thestephennightshow.com. We're also on TikTok, so check us out, follow us on all of the platforms. We appreciate your comments, we appreciate your love. When we come back, we have the question of the day and hot topics right back after this.
I said that you pass, she waiting, she checking, she looking, and she not know what they are talking. I told her that trouble, she causing the way that she rocking and shaking her too much. On in a fatu matter, put it on me, let she fuck a cat eye. All the men is scatter, that all been it, I want in a track fly. When you tie your lapa, and you wear your skin test, when you rocking your too much, bange, I want marry you. Chamu, I want take you. Anything you want, I give it to you. Take my name, my money, my car, my clothes, my everything, oh. Suffer, eh? I can never suffer, eh? Suffer, eh? I'm rely on the waiting, but I'm in the setting. Destiny got the chasing, but the jupa she jacking. I can never suffer, eh? Suffer, eh?
What play you non see fun get capping? Like I said before, hungry line blocking. You leave it, another scam and we'll bop it. Grab it, squeeze it, we'll drop it. That it done, you will be trying how to catch it. You know you're missing a casa by Rebete. You fix it, 05, join how to catch. Then you won't speak series now till they get. Pretty girl, let me take you out of dinner. I got a cheddar, forgive me, I was a sinner. Gonna be better from January down to December. Take trips, go to spas, even in the winter. So sexy, gorgeous, and beautiful. Everything that we do is memorable. I'm feeling you from your head down to your toes. Don't have to speak on it, I'm gonna show.
I'm rely on the waiting, but I'm in the setting.
nasty nigga, they chasing you. But they juke out, she checking.
Anytime she walking, the boy them be watching. Anytime she walking, the boy them be jaking. Baby girl, you temptation. Anytime you turn girl, you confusion. Baby girl, you temptation. Anytime you turn girl, you confusion. Baby girl, you blow my mind away. Anytime you turn my way, girl, you make me wanting. I'm wanting you tonight. Forget, never, you never stop.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Angie Stone, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are finally back after our summer break, much deserved summer break. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But tonight we're going to talk about all the hot topics we didn't get a chance to discuss because we were vacationing and working. But we're going to get into those later on. I want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course our official website, thestephennightshow.com. We're also on TikTok, so check us out. We also have a new segment later on in the show that we'll be introducing called HBCU Money. William Foster will discuss different economic information each month that will help benefit the African-American community. Now, we know we have merch, so check out our merch at thestephennightshow.com. This is National Suicide Prevention Month. Where I work, there's a woman who, her husband, he lost his life due to suicide 2 years ago. And he was prominent here in Atlanta. And we had our administrative meeting on Monday. And so they showed a video of her and her family discussing the father and his legacy and bringing awareness to suicide. And one thing I took away from that, she spoke afterwards, that if anyone ever mentions suicide, I don't care how small it is, but they mention it as relates to themselves, do not ignore it. That's a sign. Her husband in this particular case had no signs that we could tell. He was a happy guy, didn't struggle for any mental health issues that were obvious. And she actually worked in that field. So the fact she felt that she couldn't save her husband, but she wants to save other people. So definitely don't ignore the signs. So if you or anybody you know is struggling in that department, definitely call 988. There are resources and people who can help you and just help you deal with this. Right. This is also the I'm sorry to laugh about that. I have a new puppy we'll also talk about later, so he's making noises with his toy. But this is also the 22nd anniversary of the 9/11, the deadly attacks 9/11. I'm gonna throw it to you, Lania and Chike, because you all live closer to New York than I do. I'm about to get that toy. And tell us about your thoughts when you think back. This is one of those times you never forget where you were. What you were doing when it all happened. So you mind telling us, you know, your thoughts on this day?
The only word that I can describe is just disbelief. And just being, you know, worried about the people, you know, that I know personally in New York. I can't say that I was affected like close personally, like some people that I know. But you know, for that to happen in that space, you know, it's just, you know, it's still kind of, you know, it still kind of brings a certain amount of emotion, you know, for all the people who lost, you know, people in their lives. And all they were doing was going to work that day, or all they were doing were catching a flight, minding their business, you know, to get to wherever they were going, and you know, and it happened. So all I can say is it's still disbelief.
Yeah, you know, it was a time where the nation came together. It was one of the times we were all united, and you know, America strong. Chike, what were your thoughts when you think back of that time?
I would like to talk about that actual day, if you will let me have that time. I just got to work. It was a regular day. Grabbed the coffee and the bagel, and you hit the office. Just a regular day. And I just sat down, and I was getting ready to get comfortable. My boss says, come look at the TV. And everybody was gone already. Everybody else. I was the only one in the office. So I'm straggling in. But why does he want me to look at the TV? I see what looks like a plane in the house. And I was like, oh, that's horrible. Like a plane crashed into a house. And then the camera started to pan back. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that it was the World Trade Center. And then I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And then as we're watching it, the second one came and hit. And that was like we all just like hit the floor. Like that was horrible. I know. I can't even explain. It felt like somebody punched me in my gut. And they told us all to go home. Everything was suspended, go home. And I was working in Philadelphia at the time, living in Jersey. So I have to catch a train that goes over a bridge to get me back to the island of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So getting down onto the train, right? The train is a tube and it's filled to capacity, like to the doors are like shedding on people's noses. And I found opportunity to get on the train. And as the doors were shedding, it was like the month before Aaliyah had died. And the lady, as the doors were shedding, and the lady said to me, you know, overcrowding is why Aaliyah died. And that was the last thing I heard at the door shed. I was like, are you kidding me? And so my day was just filled with sorrow. I was already sad about Aaliyah, but like that, like, what do you, New York hasn't been right since, in my opinion. It just hasn't been the same. Still New York, but it's not the same.
Yeah. Well, you know, nearly 3,000 people lost their lives that day. But again, it was a time when we were united. Rudy Giuliani, he was revered. Sad to see where he's gone to now. But our thoughts and prayers are definitely with the people who lost loved ones that day. Everyday workers, first responders, the heroes that stopped the plane from crashing into the White House. But since his lives, I saw the story of this woman. She had just married her husband. They had been married 11 days and he died in one of the towers. And she actually fought, one of the people that fought for the memorial for them. So anyway,
I can't, we'll be remiss if we don't mention that some people honestly believe that this is not real. Like, that's not a real thing that happened.
Right.
Like, God bless you. I wish you well, but it really happened.
It really happened. Well, again, our thoughts and prayers for everyone who was negatively impacted by that terrible tragedy. All right, well, switching gears, like I said, this is the we're coming off summer break. I know I had a great summer, Linnea. How was your summer? You doing anything great?
I survived.
Right. Yeah.
Can I just touch on something real quick? You brought up the conversation about your coworker and
yes,
and him committing suicide. Mm-hmm. I was in a dark space and I had made some comments. And it's real when you're going through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I'm completely out of it, but I'm better.
Okay.
Than I was. But I will say this. I had an ex-boyfriend commit suicide when he was 19, yeah, and he shot himself in the head.
Oof.
So it's real. So how I was feeling this summer, I wasn't myself. I'm feeling like I'm getting back to that. And, you know, I want to say, I just want to take the time to acknowledge, because I want to keep it light. I just want to take the time to acknowledge Chike. You know, and he goes through his own separate things, but,
yeah,
you know, we do our best to be there for each other, even when we don't want people there.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend, Shell, Shante, and please let me acknowledge his name before he kills me. My boyfriend, Shante. Yes. Out of all the people, you know, of course, I cannot not talk to him.
Right, yeah.
So I just want to say, baby, I love you. Thank you for being, you know, my rock. Thank you for being a light. Thank you for being a voice. And I thank all of y'all, you know, especially, you know, my inner circle, for even loving me when I didn't love myself, when I don't love myself, when I'm mad at myself. Thank you for loving me. And that I'm blessed. So the summer was a time for, you know, reflection and digging myself out of where I put myself, because we put ourselves in those dark places. So I just wanted to say thank you.
We're glad that you are getting out of that and that you have the support, love and support. We love you, but you have the love and support that you need, and we'll definitely keep you uplifted in prayer. Definitely. Chike, how was your summer?
Oh, it was fabulous.
Good.
I did a little traveling, but more importantly, like my sister, it was a time of self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting to know a different phase of me. Whoever said getting grown, you know, was a thing, you're constantly growing. You're never grown. You're Absolutely. Always growing. So, yeah, I'm in a growing phase. I'm getting to know this new person.
That's awesome. I just briefly touched on what Nia had brought up. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday that told me that he had been feeling depressed lately. And I was telling him back in March, like every year for my birthday is March 20th. I always, especially in the last maybe 10 years or so, I start getting anxiety and thinking, oh my God, I'm getting older. I'm getting close to death. Especially I think since my mom passed is when it really started happening.
Mm.
But I told myself this year that I'm going to stop doing that and that I'm going to start feeding into myself, improving myself in all areas of my life. And so what I've been doing, I listen to something positive or motivational or spiritual in the morning. And that's how I end my night. I write down 3 to 4 things I'm grateful for every day. And I'm constantly just having positive conversations. And I think what happens is, you know, we all go through life and life is not always easy, but you have to strengthen your foundation so that if you do fall and when you fall, it's not as hard to get back up. So please do what you can for your own mental health. I also have a therapist. I'm big on therapy. But those things, you know, and some people, they struggle harder than others, but there are resources and things you have to do for yourself to keep yourself in a good place. Because what you say about yourself, what you read about yourself or say, you know, speak is what you're going to believe. So sometimes even when you're not in the mood to hear it, put on that motivational thing. There are a lot of great things on YouTube. I listen to this Affirmations for Black Men. It's great. It is great. I listen to it every morning when I'm getting ready to go to the gym. So do what you have to do for yourself, for sure.
Thank you, Essence. That's my therapist.
Yes, shout out to Essence. My summer was great. I actually went to Jamaica this summer. I went to Montego Bay for my homeboy's 40th birthday. I went to this museum. They had two main two main displays.
Exhibits,
yes. One was about the history of slavery in Jamaica. Talk about the original Jamaicans and how Africans got to Jamaica. I did not know Christopher Columbus started the slave trade. I did not know that. Learned that there. Also, the second exhibit was about the history of Rastafarians and what they represent. Why they wear the dreads, the hair, the way they do. It was really a great information. I love not information anyway, but it was great. So, and then I visited my dad in August for his 71st birthday. He's still crazy as ever. We had a great time, my brothers and my dad and some of my nieces. And then you hear the noise in the background. I got a puppy, Jules, I lucked up. He is well behaved. He doesn't get into much stuff. He doesn't bark a lot, and he's potty trained. I potty trained him in a couple of days. So, thanks to YouTube University. But so it was a good summer.
I knew you was going to be a dad again.
On the Instagram. I saw it. Yeah. It's been 7 years. It was 7 years. But wow. And I was like, what did I get myself into? But it's been great. It's been great. All right. Well, our question of the day is: what is the most difficult thing about dating? Chike.
Oh, me first.
Yes.
You know what? Me. I'm the most difficult thing about dating these days. Yep. It's me.
Okay.
I'm the problem. This one.
Do you ever feel like that, though, that you are the problem? Like
no, never... dead ass. Dead
yeah,
ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah. We all get in our own way sometimes. I was wondering, because some people think it's everyone else.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you, for those that quick little therapy session. When you've been single for too long, it is hard to make the adjustment to consider someone else.
Yes.
When you've been considering just numero uno for so long, mm-hmm. It's a problem. I'm working on it.
My aunt was telling me a book about this years ago. She said, the longer you're single, the harder it is to
mingle,
do life with people. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Lenny, I know you're not single, but what would you, I'm sure you may have girlfriends or guy friends that are single. What have you heard or seen as the biggest problem or hardest part?
So prior to my relationship, and we've been together 7 years now.
Yeah.
But prior to that, I was single for 10 years. Mm. So, you know, the issue that I found is that with the inception of the internet, it just created another dynamic of foolishness that you have to learn to filter through. And of course, you're trying to filter through the BS, but so many people live their lives online that they start to believe their own shit. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to living in the real world, they're like a fish out of water. They don't know. People do not know how to effectively communicate anymore.
Right.
People do not know how to engage just in just general, normal conversation. Everything is just ignorant. Mm-hmm. And then people have these preconceived notions because now you have these people online that you've interacted with. And it's like, well, if they do it, then you do it.
Right.
I don't know you. You're not even gonna know where I live. I don't know what you're saying. What you mean cook for you?
What's that term that we said, Linnea? What's it called? Like microwave connections?
The microwavable stuff that people want now. And then it's like they jump from, I mean, y'all see it online. Somebody can post that they in a relationship on Monday with one person, and they all, the love of my life. And by Wednesday, now you get these subliminal memes. Well, the Lord said, if it ain't for me, don't hold on to it. But, you know, I'm being faithful, and I'm trusting the Lord. And by Friday, this is my boo. We together. Like, I feel like I've known him for forever. You don't even know his real name.
Right, right.
Yeah. But y'all done mashed yams already and all kinds of stuff. Y'all done co-mingled and did soul ties and all kinds of stuff. Then you wonder why y'all crazy, because y'all letting any dude run up in you and you putting your thing in any chick. Yo, soul ties is real. And connecting yourself to these people that you don't know is a problem. Mm-hmm. So I'm good in the fact that I don't have to filter through no BS no more. I am very, very grateful. But, you know, talking to my friends who are still single, how do I keep telling them to be positive and optimistic when I'm seeing it with them and we talking about it all the time? How do I say that to y'all? Like, oh, well, you know, you just got to keep the faith. And I'm like, why am I lying to my friend that I'm supposed to love?
All right.
Because it ain't it out here.
Right. Yeah. I think, like you said, with the internet, there's so many options. And people will hit you up on anything. LinkedIn. You know, we already know social media. They will hit you up in them DMs. So
I think no bounds.
Yeah. And it used to be your area where you lived in. That's where your dating pool. But now it can be anywhere. It can be anywhere. I heard this woman at my job. She flew out to Spain or some Paris or somewhere. Some man she met. So anyway,
who's doing it?
Well, everybody getting flued out.
Everybody getting flued out.
Yep. Mm. Well, tweet us on X and let us know what's the most thing about dating. All right, we'll get into some of these hot topics we weren't able to discuss because we're on break. But let's talk about the Montgomery brawl. All right, so on August 5th, 2023, a large-scale altercation took place at the Riverfront Dock in downtown Montgomery, Alabama. The incident gained significant media attention due to its violent nature, the racial undertones, and Montgomery's racially charged history. On August 5th at 7 p.m., the riverboat Harriet II was carrying 227 passengers, returned to the river Front Park dock on the Alabama River in Montgomery, Alabama. An interview with CNN, the captain, a white man, of the Harriet to stated that the vessel had just completed its 5 to 7 cruise, and the captain explained that there was a pontoon boat that prevented the exit from exit ram because they were pretty much in front where they're supposed to dock. So the riverboat captain attempted to get the pontoon's operators to move their boat, but they did not. The passengers on the Harriet shouted at them to move the boat after failing to get the pontoon boat owner to move for 45 minutes. The African-American co-captain, they kept saying security guard, but it was a co-captain, and a unidentified 16-year-old white male deckhand were transported to the dock to move the pontoon. The co-captain provided a written statement to the police stating that he untied the pontoon boat from the deck, from the dock, moving it 3 steps to the right with the assistance of the deckhand. They were then confronted by the owner. Now, the video of the incident showed individuals arguing with the co-captain. A short time later, he was assaulted by a white man who shouted at him not to touch the boat. The two then began to fight. Then another white man and white woman of the private boat also attacked the co-captain. Video shows multiple individuals, white and black, attempting to break up the initial assault. A white dock owner was also assaulted. The initial assault was broken up less than a minute. Arguments and fights with the Harriet 2 workers continued. A black teenager was filmed swimming across the river to the dock. He arrived at the dock after the initial assault was defused. Moments later, he fought with 2 white men and pushed a white woman. Then the Harriet dock 2, when it docked, a crew member disembarked and confronted the initial assailants, which led to another altercation. The co-captain went towards this fight, grabbed someone, and walked the person back to the Harriet 2. At the Harriet 2, bystanders and individuals connected to the initial assault began arguing and punching each other. A black man used a folding chair to hit a white man and a white woman who had been punched and knocked down by multiple black women. Some white people were thrown into the river. Police also contacted at 7 p.m. and again at 7:15 p.m. arrived to the scene about 7:18. The prominent racial lines of the fighting led allegations that the assailants were racially motivated in their attack. Now, in the aftermath, the immediate aftermath of the brawl saw 13 individuals detained and questioned, including the co-captain, who was hit by a police taser, but subsequently released. Montgomery Police Chief Derry J. Albert confirmed that the arrest warrants for the 3 involved in the incident. Arrest warrants were expanded to another woman and a man hitting people with the chair. All 5 surrendered to the police station the following week. Now, this went viral. The video went viral. People were kind of celebrating the fact how that co-captain threw his head up there. They said that's a back signal, and people came from all over to his defense. When you all saw this video, I don't know how many times you watched it. I watched it probably about 100 times. When you saw this video, what were your thoughts, Lanier?
So there were 2 songs that came to mind.
They did actually saw them based on this called Montgomery Brawl, but go ahead.
But for me.
Okay.
The first one was Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home. The other one was Michael Jackson's Come Together. Right now, over me. Those are 2 songs I initially thought about. And all I know is that the heavens opened up and the angels, the ancestors were singing. And of course, I don't condone violence, but you looked around and you found out. It was one of those things. And I hope that the little dude, the little country singer that sung that song, don't try that in a small town. Yeah. I hope he realizes they tried it in a small town and look what happened.
Mm-hmm. And apparently that the that family, the white family, they were known to come into, they didn't live in the area. They were known for coming in the area and causing problems. But the funny thing about it is that they had to be treated at the local hospital, and they wanted to be treated because most of the staff was black. But that's who they had to be treated by. Chike, when you saw this, what was your reaction?
So mine is a two-sided one. I was appalled, disgusted, ashamed, and I think that a lot of people were delighted to see that go down. And not for some obvious reasons, but for reasons that I won't go into right now. But I think that some people were pleased to see that because it just approved and gave a thumbs up to everything that everyone ever said about us not being able to get along. We're different. We're always going to clash. We can't get along. We should live separately. All that bogus BS. But at the same time, as my sister said, it was a clear case of effing around and finding out. And when is enough enough? It probably would have gone down without a hitch if they didn't jump that man. If it was just like a one-on-one fight, even if that man lost, that was the end of that. But y'all ganged up on that one man that was just there working, doing his job. And so the community got together and handled you. That's how it normally goes down with us. No one wants violence. No one's condoning violence, but you just can't continue to go out here inflicting violence on people because you feel like you want to. That's just not how it's going to go down. That's not it. That's not the move. I'm going to tell you're going to fail.
You don't own this. You don't
And
own it.
this is not the 1950s.
You don't, but if you look at what they're trying to do and all these other things that are trying to pass these different laws, and what? And what you want? Oh, you want us to go back to slavery? That the thing you keep telling us that we need to get over. That's what you want to go back to. Interesting, right?
Very much so. All right, well, let's talk about Keke Palmer and Darius Jackson. As you know, Keke Palmer and Darius Jackson were dating. They had a baby boy. And Keke was getting a lot of love, following the birth of her son. But she went to the Usher's concert, his residency in Vegas. And, he's known for going to women and singing to them, especially high profile women. And Keke Palmer got her shine. And of course, it went viral. And her boyfriend took to Twitter at the time and commented on the fact that of what she had on. And he said, "You're a mother." And he got a backlash for that. And he said, "Listen, pretty much this is my family. I want my family conducted in a certain way, blah, blah, blah." So it caused a conversation over does he have the right to tell her what she should be wearing? And knowing that this is entertainment, this is what Usher does all his shows, is he's married, should he be jealous? So it was a lot of back and forth conversation around that. So it seemed that they had broken up. She was in Usher's one of his latest videos as the video girl, called Boyfriend or something like that. And it didn't really do well. And now all of a sudden you're seeing them together. He was to celebrate a birthday. They were together at Beyonce's concert recently. So some people are thinking, did we get duped? But let's go back to the conversation about his initial reaction, making it public. Her kind of she didn't really acknowledge it, straight up, but she kind of did some jabs at it. What are your thoughts on all of this? I'll start with you, Lanier.
In-house business needs to be kept in-house. Y'all live together. You ain't see her leave. You ain't see her get dressed. You ain't know what she was wearing. First of all, she grown. And the double standard of, and Keke is stealing her mom body. You know, we've watched this now grown woman grow up from a little girl. She is no longer that little girl, and she is really embracing her mom bod. And she's getting, this is a different phase in her life. She is a mother. She's a gorgeous mother. I've seen people wear way worse to the grocery store. to be honest. I didn't find anything wrong with it. Like I said, he should have had that conversation in-house if he had an issue with it. But to take it to social media, once you put it out there, you can't undo it. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Because if you would have told her at home, we would not have never known. If you had that discussion beforehand about how you feel your family should be, then you would not, him, Darius, he would not have had her in a leopard print skin tight bodysuit telling her to twerk her ass on social media and smacking it while she doing it. Mm-hmm. And she had, I'm saying, that was okay. Oh, or you sitting in your drawers posting on social media with your legs cocked open. Mm-hmm. Did Kiki say something to you about that? But you know what? Who am I? I'm poor. I don't have those problems.
And then, of course, once you know, he opened that can of worms, you know, Black Twitter went out and digged up his past and found old tweets he did and, you know, raked him over the coals. GK, what are your thoughts on this conversation?
I mean, did you or did you not know you were getting involved with Keke Palmer when you got involved with Keke Palmer? I mean, I really don't think that, not comparing you to Jay-Z or Beyonce, but I really think that what Beyonce's wearing on stage is any of Jay-Z's concern. He's not even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You knew your wife was a celebrity. You knew she was going to the concert to see another celebrity. You've seen his shows. You probably have met this man before. You've been in his company probably. I'm going to quote the great district attorney of Fulton County, Georgia, Ms. Fonnie Willis. Deal with reality or reality will deal with you. You should have known what you were getting into. Sit at home, birth the baby, and count the dividends as they come in.
Absolutely.
I think he was happy before she got pregnant or, and his body became
or he's privy to some news that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. That's why he's in his emotions.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Pray for everyone involved.
Well, everyone's been comparing Beyonce's tour to Taylor Swift's tour. They're both high grossing. I found this article today. I'm going to read some of it and talk about some of the stats around the tour. So everyone's talking about the biggest movie battle of the year, but no one's talking about the summer's other equally important double feature, Taylor Swift's Ticketmaster and Crash and Eras tour versus Beyonce's record-breaking Renaissance tour. Now, here at Slate, Slate is the publication, we're not in the habit of putting women against each other, but we are interested in celebrating the massive achievements of two of the most influential entertainers. In order to do that, it's helpful to know just how massive these achievements are, especially when the two tours are projected to become the highest grossing of all time. And maybe you, like many unlikely others, couldn't snag the coveted ticket to one or both, are wondering how they measure up to each other. With the recent announcement of additional extension of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour will wind up lasting for a year and a half, and her first date having occurred in March of 2023, and her last, for now at least, set for November 2024. Beyonce, on the other hand, doesn't have time for all that. In addition to being a superstar, she's also a mother. Her Renaissance tour will run from May to October, barring any extensions. All right, so number of tour dates. So Taylor Swift, she's having 146 tour dates, Beyonce's having 56. Average show running time, Taylor, 3 hours and 23 minutes, Beyonce, 2 hours, 29 minutes. Number of songs performed, Taylor Swift, 46, Beyonce, 35. Costume changes, Taylor Swift, 16, Beyonce, 9. Number of backup dancers, 16 for Taylor, 23 for Beyonce. And number of mishaps so far, Taylor was 7, Beyonce with only 2. So I've heard a lot of conversation around these two tours, obviously probably because they're doing so well. What are your thoughts on this? I'll start with you, GK.
I mean, The real answer for me is just a marketing ploy to get the fans of each of the women to go out and boost their team, to buy more tickets, to try to sell more. It's business. I don't know what more you want me to say. I mean, and it's a shame that we live in a society where it's always this against that. It's enough room for both those ladies to be golden.
Yeah. Linnea, what are your thoughts?
This has never been a thing before. Never been a thing before. Because they've been on tour before. And somebody didn't have nothing else to do. Decided, you know what? Let's stir up the pot. Because, of course, you know, that whole situation with, I don't know, was it the MTV Awards and Taylor winning over her or whatever. You know, let's stir it up because we got to make it seem like, this is just my opinion, Taylor's better. No, she's not. But go off. What I can tell you, a Taylor Swift song to save my life.
Yeah.
But you know what? People are going with her non-dancing self. And I'm not saying this stuff. People are going. They are enjoying themselves. They are spending the money.
Yeah.
I could have swore that there was something going on with Ticketmaster at one point, and the president got involved because Ticketmaster were kind of like ripping people completely off. But yeah. I don't.
Exactly. I haven't seen any of them, but I'm going to see Beyonce. Her last show is going to be in Kansas. It's actually a rescheduled show that she did from had early in the during the tour schedule. So she's making it up. So I'm actually going to that show October 1st. So we'll see what the hype is about. I think it'll be great. I've heard nothing but great things about it. So we'll see. All right, our last story. So everyone's talking about, I'm sorry. All right, ready? Okay, a grand jury in Georgia has indicted former President Donald Trump and 18 allies on the state charges stemming from his efforts to overturn the 2020 electoral defeat in the Peach State. The 41-count indictment was unsealed last month and is the fourth criminal case that Trump is facing. The indictment returned by Fulton County Grand Jury includes 13 charges against Trump. He now faces a total of 91 charges in four criminal cases in four different jurisdictions, two federal, two state. So the question is, why is he able to run for president? Because there's a 14th Amendment that says that he shouldn't be running. So Chicken, why, in your opinion, he's making more money off of that? You know, he had his first mugshot with this case, made millions off that mugshot. What are your thoughts?
You cannot get me on this particular show and ask me those kind of questions. We will get kicked off. You know, I feel very strongly about these things. And I will say that safety net is wide and vast that holds everything together for him. And that's why it's continuing to be okay and not a threat. But I do feel like justice will prevail no matter what it is. Justice will prevail in the end.
Linnea?
You going to jail. I done said that jail. I don't ride my life. All my life I had to fight. Listen, you know, it might be a coincidence, but these black women ain't playing with this man. They're not playing with this man. Mm-hmm. Not in Atlanta, not in Georgia, not in New York. Like, they're not playing with you, bruh. Is the judge of Florida black? I'm not sure.
I don't know which one. But the one, there's one, they try to get
there's a black judge. There's a black lady.
Yeah.
But they not playing with you. And there's only but so long that security blanket can hold him. That's how I feel. It's only but so long because when it starts to affect the other people and they bottom line,
right?
What you think going to happen?
Yeah.
What you think going to happen? Hey, listen, that the mugshot spiked his popularity because, you know, according to certain people, you know, that station over there named after the animal, they said that, you know, he relates to black folks because he got a mugshot now.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, the crazy thing about it is there was the man, Blacks for Trump. He was over at the Blacks for Trump,
and oh my goodness,
he was one of the 18 people that were arrested, indicted. He was the one that spent the longest time in jail because he couldn't afford the bail to get out.
He's still in there, ain't he?
That part.
He got out. Got out. But
I know the Black lady got out. I don't know how she got out.
Yeah. So, but before we go, shout out to tennis star Coco Gauff. She won the U.S. Open. She is the youngest person to do it since Serena Williams did it when she was 19 years old. Kudos to her. Congratulations. Chike, Lania, thank you so much for Hot Topics. Chike, I'll see your movie reviews, and we will be right back after this.
Got me drunk, but lately I can't get enough. That good stuff, I feel the rush. Whatever you want, baby, trust you'll get it. So babe, stop wasting time and bring it. We feel with lust, our bodies thrust. Go knock the dust off that big dog. You can scream and cuss if it gets rough. Don't care if the neighbors fuss, let them hear it. Cause all of this right here is my shit. You know that's not your mind, baby. Yeah, anybody else gonna be hitting like that with a down like this? This, you know you're claiming my period. Yeah, ain't nobody else gonna be with, so I got your mind like it. You so fake, you're loving me. So fake, you're loving me. So fake, you're loving me. Vibing, bumping, Joe to see. Still having drinks, we in too deep. If you start touching on me, then you gon' get it. Cause me, you know right now I'm twisted. You glanced at me, you smiled and winked. You better stop playing, cause I'm a freak. But you still proceed, trying to kiss on me. But baby, I ain't got these lips for nothing. So babe, come get them and stop fronting. Yeah, baby, that's my shit. Yeah, ain't nobody else gonna be hitting like that. I put it down like this. This, yeah, baby, I claimed it. Yeah, ain't nobody else I'm gonna be with, so I gotta lock it.
Shit I be talking about, bro.
Facts.
P.A. Dre, what up? Let's get to it. Look, I'm out west, yelling Jersey like I'm close to home. Was on the block like Moses, this ain't Post Malone. We quoting poems that we never had to plagiarize. Stepping to Goliath till I bring him down to David's size. A shaking fries, a complimented if you talking beef. Penny per thought is even less when your talk is cheap. These subtleties are befuddled, nigga walk with me. Even when I got the pen sealed, they won't sharpen me. They telling tales like these shits are really cautionary. The flow water, but really I be off you fairies. Nothing's arbitrary, I put that on my mama's soul. I'm a man before my sisters play my mama's role. And I'm Nicole, so don't stress where that diamond is. Watching me maneuver like I'm a Sean with the Heimlich is. King of my city if you ask, but they saying them. The mayor trying to give me the keys that I gave to him. I play the win and told Lee I'm talking honest. Plus I got a few bucks like I'm Middleton and Giannis. The road was turbulent, I know to be a little bumpy. I ain't Johnson, but this rap shit got me living comfy. I get it monthly, like what you end the sentence with. Rap niggas is goofy, they always on some friendly shit. But turn your back and like honor, yeah, they been a dick. Fuck them though, let's appreciate this penmanship. Let's appreciate this penmanship.
Yeah, talk to him.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. One time for all of the soldiers who never folded and did what they were supposed to do. It's only a chosen few that I can show devotion to. It's hard not getting emotional, cause you stayed solid despite everything you was going through. Was the definition to show and prove. Can't believe you're gone, but I know it's true. So I sing your song in a vocal booth. I wanna be close to you, so I pour out some liquor in the cracks of the concrete where the roses bloom. You was my ace since the playground. Dreamt of running this rap shit, giving the industry a shakedown. Standing at your grave mound, feeling guilty cause shit's starting to shake now. This ain't at all I was supposed to play out. Just know your memory is well protected. Rarely aggressive, but when it comes to the similes, I'm well respected. Pouring my soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship. Yeah. My soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship.
PC, what up? Let's appreciate this penmanship.
Yo, what's up? This is Daryl.
It's Rhea.
It's Paco.
It's Aja, and we're the Walls Group, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, welcome back from summer break. What did you do? I saw you did some travel. What did you do over the summer break?
Yeah. Thanks for welcoming me back. Yeah, I did some beach trips over the summer. Went to Atlanta for Dragon Con, you know, on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
So if you knew anyone down there at the time, I would have
loved to touch up. I actually thought of you. One of my friends went there, and I was thinking, Adam likes Dragon Con.
Great. You should have told me. I will say, though, I unfortunately ended the summer with COVID, which I still have right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, ironically, no one else in our hotel room got it, just me. So I was the lucky one. But yeah, it was a good summer overall until that. So yeah, just a lot of traveling and a lot of just kind of enjoying DC.
Did you have any major symptoms or?
No, mainly it's sore throat and like fatigue and stuff like that. And it's getting better, but you know.
Is this your first time having it?
No, I've had it before.
Okay.
So
I know some people have had it recently. We were actually going to do a story on it, Hot Topics, but ran out of time. But because, you know, it's the uptick in COVID cases in the US.
Yeah, I saw that in your Hot Topics and I was like, oh, this will be something very relevant to me now.
Exactly. Well, get better soon. Get better soon.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going to let you all take away with movie reviews.
Sure thing. So I won't go into the full summer. You know, there's a lot of stuff that came out. The biggest thing, of course, was the whole Barbieheimer thing. Such an interesting kind of mix in cult success for the movie industry, because at this time, a lot of movies were failing. The Indiana Jones movie was doing bad. The Flash movie was doing bad. And then this kind of mix of Barbie and Oppenheimer coming out really set the stage for kind of the summer box office success. And Barbie is the top movie of the year so far. So If you haven't seen it yet, you probably will see it because it's been playing everywhere and it's been nonstop. But I wanted to go into a few of the other things I caught up on, and I was unable to catch a movie this past weekend, obviously due to COVID, but I did catch up on a few TV shows and a movie. And the first movie I want to talk about actually came out right after we started our break, and it's called They Clone Tyrone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if any of y'all saw this. It's a Netflix show. It has John Boyega, Jamie Foxx, Tiana Paris. And it's a kind of a sci-fi mystery in that blaxploitation style where they discover that John Boyega's character has a clone of himself. Without going into too many more details, because it's pretty much all spoilers after that, they kind of go to try to solve this mystery that's going on. I thought it was fun. If you have Netflix, check it out. This is a great job. This is one of those movies where the plot may not totally work, but the chemistry between all the leads was so great. And Jamie Foxx is always funny in whatever he's in. And so they did a really good job, and I highly recommend that. The only other things I saw that were of note was I started watching the live-action One Piece show. And for any fans of the anime and manga, this is basically that in live-action. And Netflix has had a history of kind of messing up their live-action animes in the past with Cowboy Bebop. But so far, it's pretty good. I actually have never seen the anime. I've never read the manga. But it feels like you're watching one of those cartoons. And that's not a bad thing. It's a fun, lighthearted show based on a very popular series. The other show I tried to watch was the Twisted Metal TV show on Peacock. And I don't know if either of y'all seen this either, but based on the video game series, it's basically Anthony Mackie stars as a person who's driving between cities to deliver different packages. And this is an apocalyptic future where people lived in walled cities, and so everyone driving between the cities kind of shoots at each other with cars. All the cars have little guns and different attachments to them to kind of create that feel of the video game. I got about one episode in, and that was it for me. I think it's definitely trying to be that cheesy, over-the-top kind of moment in a TV show and not take itself too seriously, but it kind of fell flat with me. And I've mentioned this before. I like Anthony Mackie, but I just don't think he's a lead. He can't carry a show by himself, I don't think. He just doesn't have kind of that ability to do it, you know, as some actors do. So that was a big miss for me. And then that's pretty much the highlights, you know, a few other kind of middling shows and movies, but kind of out of the recent watch. And again, Barbie, Oppenheimer, check them out. You won't be disappointed. Oppenheimer, I would say, is over 3 hours. You do feel it. There are slow moments. But if you're a fan of Christopher Nolan, you're going to enjoy this movie no matter what.
I thought that the lineup for the summer was pretty well-rounded. I like the diversity in the films, mm-hmm. whether you like them or not. It was great diversity. I don't know if we've had that in a while with so many different movies out at the same time. It's like something for everybody.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, I did want to get a chance to actually watch Blue Beetle because I know DC's kind of wrapping up, but it's gotten good reviews, and Gran Turismo seemed like a fun kind of family movie that's based on a true story. So, you know, lesson for people out there, don't give up on playing video games because it could become a real career one day.
And what was the show on Peacock? Because I had a thought about that show.
The Twisted Metal.
Okay, so when I saw the trailer for it, when it first came on, I judged it before I saw it, and I said, I don't think that the production is going to meet up to the expectation, and it's not going to be good. And so I never even gave it a chance because I just didn't feel like they were going to be able to do it justice in that format.
Yep, you were wise to do so, because you could definitely see the kind of the low-quality CGI animation for some of the things.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because I think it's a great concept. They just need a bigger platform.
Yes, they need like an HBO budget.
Yes. Yes. So I saw a film just this weekend, actually. It's called Last Voyage of the Demeter. And it is based off of a chapter out of Bram Stoker's Dracula, in which it's the part where Dracula is getting transported to the New World. So when he's basically leaving London, going to America, well, actually Russia, and then from Russia to America. And so, I thought that it was pretty decent. I thought that the special effects were good. They told the story well. And if you know anything about Bram Stoker's Dracula, you know that there's, you know, different chapters in Dracula's life. And, you know, they're able to probably piece that book up and probably get 20 great movies out of it just from the little snippets of stories that are told in the chapters. And I thought that this was very intense. It leaves room open for more, of course. But definitely worth watching if you're into vampires. I was pleased.
Nice.
The next movie that I saw was not new, but it was new to me. It's called The Clover Hitch Killer. And it stars Dylan McDermott, Charlie Plummer, and Madison Beatty. So it's pretty much about a young teenage boy on a quest to find out if his dad is a serial killer or not. And I'll leave it there. Very different story.
Interesting, yeah.
High drama. Definitely check it out.
Nice. Is that Netflix or is it?
That is on Prime, actually.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. And so I'm watching also on Prime this new series called Deadlock. It's Australian, I don't want to call it a soap opera, but it's a series. Mm-hmm. But it's as comedy kind of infused, and it's like dark humor. And it was a little quirky. Maybe the first episode was a little quirky to me, but I gave it a chance, and then I really really started to like it, and it kind of grew on me.
Nice.
And so, yeah, definitely check it out, especially if you like a whodunit, you know, murder mystery. You're trying to figure it out along with everybody else.
Yeah.
It's really good for that. Yeah. And it's a little difficult. You're not going to guess who you think it is. I think I kind of gave something away. But if you watch it, try to figure it out and let me know if you can figure it out, because it gets confusing. And lastly, I'm watching an animated show called My Adventures with Superman on Max. And that's done by DC Comics. And it's done in the anime style. It's not the normal way we normally see DC animated features when it comes to Superman. So it's kind of cool to see it in anime. And the storyline is pretty decent. And they're coming from a different point in Clark's life. You know, they're not taking it all the way back to the beginning. They're starting pretty much as his career starts as a journalist.
Ooh, so it's kind of like that year one Batman take or year two Batman take. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's it for me.
I can't remember half the stuff I saw over the break, but I did watch something over the weekend called Ultimatum. It's on Netflix, and it's with couples who have been together usually around 2 years or have. They're couples though. Anyway, so they come to the show. It's hosted by Nick Lachey and his wife Vanessa. Is that her name? Mm-hmm. Anyway, and so so they're pretty much giving their partner an ultimatum. And so if you don't want to marry me, then I need to move on. So what they do is they interact with all the couples for about, they spend a couple of days together in their apartment as a couple. Then they interact with others that are supposed to date. They're supposed to break up and they're supposed to date other people that are on the cast. And so at the end of, I think it's a week, you pick the person that you're going to do a trial marriage with for 3 weeks. So they pick the person, they live together for 3 weeks, do their everyday lives. And then at the end of the 3 weeks, they live with their spouse, I mean, their original partner for 3 weeks. And they determine if they want to, if they fall in love with someone else, if they want to get married, or engaged, or if they're just going to leave single. And so it got a little interesting because there was one couple, and she, you know, she's the one that gave her boyfriend the ultimatum. He said he sees himself marrying her, but right now is not the time because he wants to be more financially stable, et cetera. Well, so they go off dating, and there's this young girl there who he's spending a lot of time with. The girl snaps, tells the little girl she needs to go, and she's saying, you're not taking advantage of this because you're not. What can you learn from this young girl? You're supposed to be able to learn more about yourself. I would think you get with someone who is, you know, doing other things so you can learn more from you. Here, it's like, it's a little hookup. And so she snapped, left the production, but she ended up coming back the next day, but they both end up leaving early because she found out she was pregnant. But anyway, so they did all that. All the couples stayed together and they all got engaged at the end. And then, so they did a reunion show to catch up, you know, been a year to see where they all were. And a lot of, some of them have created, have, you know, set wedding dates. So this one girl, she is all about work, all about her. She's an entrepreneur, all about it. I don't see how they're going to get married. I don't see it. But
that show sounds messy, Steven.
Yeah, it sounds on par with all your other shows, but
no, this one. So I apparently I'd seen season one. I don't remember saying that when I, you know, Netflix.
That's how memorable it is. Yeah,
but I was watching another show called Love Is Blind. I like that show, right? Mm-hmm. So I saw they had new episodes. So it was more like, you know, where we are a year later, and so that came up afterwards. I was like, I don't know if I want to watch this, but then I start watching it while I was doing stuff. And that's how I got invested. But I do agree, it's messy.
I forgot, Steven, do you watch 90 Day Fiancé, or have you watched that?
I don't.
Oh, you should. That's up your alley.
It's funny because, so, the foster mother who had my dog now, before I adopted him, I met her, you know, because you have to do a meet and greet first. And she's from Australia. And she moved here right before lockdown of COVID. And she said that she moved here. It was almost like a 90-day fiancé style where she had to get married within a certain time with her, you know, they were already together, but they had to get married. And then she couldn't work for 2 years because of her visa. And so now they both, you know, they work from home together all the time. But her thing, she fell in love with dogs to kill time. But it was funny how she said 90-day fiancé. But I've never seen this show. But I kind of know.
Yeah,
but Big Brother is back. Big Brother is back. you know, I have a friend that we watch it together and we kind of talk about it afterwards. And he thinks the cast is not that diverse. I think the cast is very diverse, not just from a racial standpoint, but also from an age standpoint. You have a woman there. She's in her late 50s, and she's doing well. She's doing very well. She lives here in Atlanta. And then there's another woman who is a three-time what's the other show? Survivor. She's a Survivor contestant. And she's doing great. Like, you would think because people know who she is, but everyone seems to love her. She knows how to play the game very well. But there's a secret twist that no one knows. Her son is also on the cast.
Ah.
So they're playing it well. But he's young, and he's starting to make stupid mistakes. So when, you know, the person's voted out, they meet with Julie Chen, right? Julie Chen Moves. And she tells them, they're like, oh, that actually makes sense. Some people do, because one time he said, only my family called me this nickname, and the mom actually called him that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then he has a showmance on there, this girl he's kind of dating on the show. And he's told her that I'm related to someone in the household. Well, there ain't but three black people. And so she guessed the other woman was his, because another older woman, she's his mom. But he's getting a little sloppy. But anyway, but it's really good. Big Brother never disappoints. Never disappoints. So one of my friends just texted me, I guess, watching yesterday's episode. but it's really good.
Oh,
but anything coming out of pipeline?
Yeah, well, speaking of mysteries, as Chike was mentioning with Deadlock, A Haunting in Venice. This is kind of continuing that Agatha Christie movies that we've been seeing, but this one is actually based on apparently a short story that was never made into a movie. So it's kind of like a whole new Agatha Christie mystery for us. but that one's on my list as kind of the next big thing I want to see.
I don't actually have a list, so I'm open. I'm open.
Big brother.
I have to shout out. I'm sorry. I'm actually going to go see a film on Saturday. I'm doing the red carpet for Queen of Knives. It's the sequel to a movie that we reviewed before called King of Knives. And so this is the sequel, Queen of Knives. So I guess I'll be reviewing that come next week.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Well, as always, thank you for letting us know what to spend our time and money on, what not to. And we'll see you again next week.
Thanks.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Tonight we are introducing a new segment. I'm very excited about this. But first, let me introduce our correspondent. He's the founder of HBCU Standard, a family of HBCU-centric blogs. And tonight he's representing HBCU Money Blog. He is going to be sharing important economic information related to the African-American community. We definitely need to get our money together. So please let me help welcome William Foster. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
So listen, I've known me and Will, we went to school together. And so he's been doing this work for a long time. And I thought it would be important for our viewers and listeners to get this information. So each month he's going to share with us some important information. So what do you have for us today? Well, first, before we get into that, tell us just a little bit about your company and why this information is so important.
So I am the chief investment officer of a small investment firm based out of the Southwest. My background is in economics and finance, as well as community development. And this particular piece of our company is the media part. And tonight, hopefully, and going forward, we'll be sharing some information that will help all of us make better decisions in building stronger institutional and households in the African-American community.
Very important information. Well, what do you have for us tonight?
So tonight, this is a recent piece of information that I had done some research on, and that is passive income. And I know we constantly hear the big buzzwords around passive income and things of that nature. And passive income is defined as lightly money that you do not have to actually put in work for. And for the IRS, passive income is defined through interest from your bank account, in particular, dividends, which you may earn through ownership of stock, and rental properties. Those are the three main baskets of which passive income is earned. It is also the least taxed. Let me say again, it is the least taxed income. And so for a family that is earning $50,000 from going to work, and a family earning $50,000 through dividends, the family that earns $50,000 through dividends will take home more. And at the end of the day, it's not how much you make, but it's how much you keep. Mm-hmm. And obviously, for a lot of African Americans, we are in last place with every economic statistic you can think of. And so median income for African American households as of 2021 was $48,000. Well, our passive income is 2,500. So, and only 5% of African-American households earn any passive income. So we are both dead last in the percentage of households who actually get passive income, and we're dead last in the amount of passive income we earn. In comparison to our counterparts, say the Asian-American households, they earn about $4,500 a year in passive income, with roughly 25% of their households earning passive income. For white Americans, same numbers, about 25% of their households earn passive income, with that number being about 4,500. And interestingly enough, in the Hispanic and Latino community, only about 7% of their households earn passive income, but they also are earning about 4,500 in passive income annually. So we have some work to do and some ground to make up. It is easier to do through passive income. And so it has to become a priority for our households.
Absolutely. Great information. I knew nothing about passive income. So thank you for that.
I constantly try to tell him, though, ladies and gentlemen.
He's always trying to put me on. He's telling me all the time. I need to start listening.
All the time.
Well, listen, where can everyone know you, that you you have a website and you're on social media? Where can we keep up with everything as relates to HBCU Money?
So everything HBCU Money, you can find us on Twitter, X, Instagram, Threads. All of them are at HBCU Money. You can follow me personally on Instagram or Twitter, X, at W Foster IV.
All right. Well, thank you as always for this information, and we'll see you again next month. We'll be right back after this.
It's KJ on the beat.
We're all alone. Nobody knows.
It's a little secret. That's how we should keep it. Maybe we've been creeping on the low.
Time to waste, it's getting late.
Get up off the deep end, we're supposed to be here.
But it feels so good. think about it all the time. Close the door. Give me some more. You have my mind going every time you're doing your thing. And it feels so.
Let's party like we grow.
So she got her hands on me.
Hey guys, this is Kimmy from Love and Marriage Huntsville, and I'm here on the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. Tonight we're highlighting Pierre Performance Never Thirsty Moisturizer. So working in the beauty industry, Jamal Pierre saw a major gap in skincare that truly addresses men's needs. It motivated him to start Pierre Performance. Pierre said that he's proud of being a Black business owner and wants to be successful not just for himself, but also to provide an example and representation for other Black people watching me. Never Thirsty Moisturizer is formulated with glycolic acid to combat hyperpigmentation, dullness, and signs of aging, as well as hydrating jojoba oil and apricot carnel oil to soften skin, according to the brand. Again, it's Pierre Performance. There's a link in the bio of this video. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's so good, glad to be back. And we'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
Tonight is all eyes on me. Everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand. Head to the floor.